Sayadawji spoke this morning in the opening ceremony in brief, and he has a responsibility to expand on what he said in relationship to the practice. But for those who practice both samatha and vipassana, satipatthana, traditionally there is the four guardian meditations are included, and these must be explained. These are traditionally taught as a way of, because this practice of the four guardian meditations, Chaturareka Bhavana, that these guardian meditations will make help us to be free of disturbances while we practice, and so that we can practice comfortably and freely and successfully. So Sayadawji will explain today in brief about the four guardian meditations. In the word, the Pali word Chaturareka Bhavana, Chatu means four. Areka means prevention or guarding. So these four types of meditation are called the four guardian meditations. Wherever we may be, we need protection, because no matter where we are, we're not free of disturbances. The Buddha himself instructed, taught these four guardian meditations, and in the texts, they are treated quite seriously. So Sayadawji must begin by talking about these four guardian meditations. And the first of these is buddhanusati, that is repeated recollection in the mind of one of the Buddha's qualities. The second is metta bhavana, that is developing the wish for others' welfare. The third is asubha bhavana. This is recollection of the body as parts, in order to see its unattractive nature. When we look at the body as a whole, it may seem attractive, but when it's observed as parts, it loses its appeal. And the fourth is recollection of the fact of death as a way of preparing ourselves for death, maranasati. Of these four guardian meditations, the first is buddhanusati. Buddha and anusati are the parts of this word. So this means recollecting, repeatedly reflecting on one of the Buddha's qualities, or two or more of the Buddha's qualities. Because we are practicing satipatthana now, we don't need to do buddhanusati, recollection of the Buddha's qualities, in an elaborate way. We can reflect on simply one quality. That will be enough. And the quality to reflect on at this time is arahang. Arahang means complete purity. The Buddha completely removed the greed, hatred, and delusion, lobha, dosa, and moha that had been following throughout many, many lifetimes, throughout all his lifetimes. Not only did he remove all the kilesas completely, he also removed what is called vasana, personal tendencies. So the Buddha was completely free of any mental defilement. No matter how attractive something was that he might see, no greed would arise in his mind. No matter how despicable, hateful something was, no hatred would arise in his mind. The potential for those defilements, any defilements to arise, was completely gone, completely purified. There was nothing that he didn't know or understand, whether it was in his own mind or other people's. So the Buddha is clean, pure of all defilement. And because he is clean and pure, he is revered and venerated by devas, brahmas, and beings everywhere. So the cause, he has this quality of being completely pure, and as a result of this, it naturally occurs, automatically occurs, that he is venerated by others. And with this as an example, we undertake the three trainings of sila, which can dispel and overcome the gross level of kilesas, the training of samadhi, which removes the obsessive kilesas that seethe within our mind, and the training of wisdom, panya, which completely cuts off the latent kilesas, the potential for any kilesa. The Buddha taught this method, which uproots kilesas completely. It has the quality to bring complete purity. We who are practicing Satipatthana undertake the practice in order to dispel the very roots of the kilesas, greed, hatred, delusion, and so on, that have been present throughout lifetimes. They've been with us throughout lifetimes. No God can command this purity to come about. We simply have to practice. And the Buddha himself practiced Satipatthana and became free of the kilesas. This path of Satipatthana is the path of the Buddha. Those who do not revere personal figures and therefore find it hard to revere the Buddha can substitute one of the qualities of the Dhamma, svakato bhagavata dhammo. The Dhamma preached by the Buddha, the Dhamma which improves the life of those who practice accordingly, the Dhamma which elevates us, is well preached. That means the Buddha preached it systematically. A person who doesn't, that systematically means that a person who doesn't know the method can't achieve the results, but a person who knows the method can. One has to learn, first of all, sila. One has to learn what sila is and put it into practice. And to the extent that one practices the three trainings, one becomes free of kilesas. If one becomes a sotapanna, that person won't be reborn in lower realms in any future lifetimes. And there are no gross kilesas left for that person. So one who reveres the Dhamma can also, one can also revere the Dhamma as a practice. The Dhamma is good in the beginning. That means that when we listen to it, we gain some peace and clarity of mind. And knowing the method, we can gain happiness. That is the happiness of concentration. And when we reach the stage of seeing objects arise and pass away, that's the beginning of Vipassana happiness. So we gain the happiness of calm and insight through the practice. And this is how the Dhamma is good in the middle. And when our Vipassana knowledge is mature, we go from observing the continual arising and passing away of mental physical phenomena called pavatta to the cessation of those called apavatta. We see nibbana with path knowledge. And this too brings us happiness and peace. This is how the practice of the three trainings, the Dhamma is good in the end. So at this point of time, people can choose, if people have a preference for reflecting not on the qualities of a person, but on the qualities of the Dhamma, this is fine. If one reveres, cherishes the qualities of the Dhamma, the desire to practice it will arise. And if one practices accordingly, then mental powers will develop in a distinct way. Therefore, in place of recollection of the Buddha's qualities, one can reflect on the quality of the Dhamma. Knowing the qualities of the Buddha, faith and trust, reverence for the Buddha can arise in our mind. Only if we have this faith and trust will we be able to work. Otherwise, it won't be possible. If we're unsure, if we don't have confidence, then we won't be able to work. So when one reflects on the Buddha's qualities, one can become free of doubt about this and develop faith. If one has faith in the one who preached this practice, then one will have the desire to practice and get the results. Therefore, one will have the courage to give up the worldly pleasures of home life, which are insignificant in comparison to what we can gain. We have the courage to come to a center like this to practice. At the time of our practice, while we're meditating, if frightening things happen, if they happen to appear in our mind, one won't feel fear, or if one does, it will go away quickly. This is the essential benefit that we gain from reflecting on the qualities of the Buddha. This, the second of the four guardian meditations, is metta. Metta is the development and spreading of the wish for the welfare of others. If dosa, hatred, anger occurs in our minds, whether it's for one person or for many, the mind becomes brittle. There's no more moisture or sap in the mind when anger is present. But when one considers that person or these people want peace and happiness just the way I do. So when one considers like that, one wants the other person or persons to be happy, to have what they need, for them not to suffer. And if anger or hatred arises, this thought can make the mind cool and calm, this thought of wanting the other's welfare. Metta is the opposite of dosa or anger. And with metta, we have coolness and peace. So we can develop this wish for others' welfare by saying to ourselves, may all beings be free of the enemy, both internal and external. May all beings be free of mental suffering and physical distress. May they be able to care for themselves happily and easily. spreading this, developing this in our mind, this wish, spreading this, is called sending metta. So when we send our metta to others, in Pali this is avera hontu. And avera means, well, vera means danger or disturbance. And these dangers or disturbances are of two kinds. So we make the wish that one may be free of these. There are two kinds of dangers or disturbances, vera. And the first is akusala vera or kilesa vera, the danger of unwholesome acts or kilesas. And this is the internal enemy, an internal danger to us. The second type is called pugala vera. This is an enemy that exists outside of us, a personal enemy in the form of a person. So these are the two types of dangers or disturbances that we wish others to be free of. May they be, when we say avera hontu, we're saying may they be free of these dangers, these internal and external dangers. The first type, the inner enemy, is the closest. The second type, the enemy in the form of people, is far away. Therefore, the first type, akusala or kilesa vera, is the most dangerous. When lobha occurs in our minds, it attacks us. And if due to, so it is a danger to us. We do things that are, we do things based on greed in our minds if we can't control it. And that is a danger to us. When dosa occurs, if we don't, if we can't have any knowledge arise at that time. So if one isn't able to prevent the dosa from spreading, if one can't stop it, then one will go to transgressions. One will act against others. So when the internal enemies arise, if one can't control them, they lead to the second type of internal enemy. When the kilesa, the enemy of kilesas arise, if we can't control them, they lead to unwholesome acts, akusala vera. So if we are free of the internal enemy of kilesas and akusalas, we will automatically have peace of body and mind. So on top of that, all we need to do is to take care of our body. So we have to make sure we get enough rest, make sure that the body is not too cold, not too hot, gets enough food, and so on. And this is an unavoidable thing that we have to do. So when we send others our metta, we wish that they may be able to take care of themselves easily, comfortably. When we understand metta, then true metta can occur in our minds. The internal enemies, lobha, dosa, and moha, are worse than any person. Dosa, if it arises in our mind, it will lead to problems for sure. And there's not just dosa or anger. There's also envy, jealousy, hatred. These internal enemies rise up and attack us in our minds. And they're sure to lead to problems. Due to these unwholesome qualities in our mind, we lose our mental happiness. We lose our well-being, our physical well-being. But when we develop metta, we gain 11 benefits. We wake up peacefully. We go to sleep peacefully. We don't have bad dreams, and so on. There are 11 benefits that we gain from developing this wish for others' welfare. The essential benefit that we gain, though, is that we can practice free of disturbances, So we should do metta to some extent, to a suitable extent during our practice. The third of the four guardian meditations is asubha bhavana or kutasa bhavana. In the word asubha, subha means beautiful or good. And if we see things as beautiful, then raga or lust for them will follow. But when we see them as not as being beautiful, then lust will not follow. Or, in other words, in the body there are 32 parts. Our body is made up of parts. And when we see this body as a whole, it looks good to us. But if we separate out the parts of our own body and consider them one by one, the hair on our head, body hair, fingers and toenails, our teeth, our skin, if we separate them out into piles, if we, in our minds, take the skin off and spread it out, there's nothing desirable in this. So when it's all put together, it seems attractive to us, but it doesn't when we consider it as parts. So therefore, this practice is to divide one's body into at least five parts: hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, and skin, and to reflect on them one by one. The benefit that we get from doing this is that we no longer are attracted to our body. What can happen is that when we gain just a little bit of samadhi, men tend to see, beautiful images, beautiful women and so on, tend to appear in the minds of male yogis. And handsome men, handsome males, can appear in the minds of female yogis. So if attractive objects appear in our mind and we have attraction for our own body, then and we get attracted to these images, then they will disturb our practice. But if we do asubha bhavana, one won't think highly of these attractive images that may appear in one's mind, and so they won't be a distraction or a disturbance. And because we gain protection from this potential disturbance, this asubha bhavana is one of the four guardian meditations. Another way to look at asubha bhavana is that when we practice, we're trying to get gold out of a trash heap. So this body is just like a heap of junk. But we can get valuable things. We can get gold from it. When we know the method of practice, we can get the essence of sila. We can gain this precious essence by the practice of sila. We can gain this something precious from the practice of samadhi and from the practice of panya. So we can look at our body as something unreliable. This body is nothing to rely on. It's just like a heap of trash. So before I die, I want to try to get the gold that can be extracted from this trash heap. The last of the four guardian meditations is maranasati. Marana means death or the fact of death. And sati means to be aware or to reflect on. So when life occurs, anyone who is alive is bound to die. Some people die almost at the very start of their life. Some people die in their teens. Some people die in middle age. Some people die of disease at any or accidents. There can be many causes. and some people just get old and die. Whatever the cause, one is bound to die. So in the time that we have before death, what is it that can give us a guarantee? So we can think, you know, I need to practice before I die. Now I have enough youth, I'm young, I can practice. And if I do, if knowledge develops, this is a type of goodness that won't fade, that won't become old. One can get this knowledge through the practice. So one reflects, I will die very soon. Death is certain to come. There's no one that does not die. Before death, I want to work to get the value from this trash heap of a body. So with this in mind, one will have the desire to undertake the practice. And the practice brings about purity of mind, and it brings about knowledge. When knowledge occurs, one will gain a lasting happiness. And this type of happiness can be gained even in 1 week if one makes effort in the practice. So with the desire to practice, if one reflects on death, one will have the desire to practice. And with the desire to practice, one will do so and work seriously. So this reflection on the fact of death is included as a guardian meditation because it brings about these results. And another way, another benefit of the reflection on death is that it enables one to work with uncomfortable feelings. In the practice, one will definitely have uncomfortable feelings. And when Vipassana knowledge occurs, there can be quite a lot of pain. If one is afraid of either pain or death, if one has consideration for one's body and fear of death, then one won't be able to note these feelings that arise with the firmness that is needed. One needs to note the uncomfortable feelings that can arise with a firm mind. And this is not in order to get rid of them, but in order to know them. When one is able to note and know the pain, then one will know how it comes, how it behaves, how it goes. And one will gain a victory over the pain. And then one won't be afraid of pain at all. One will even challenge pain to come. So if one can overcome Vedana's feelings, especially uncomfortable feelings, one can gain a lot of benefit in the Dhamma. So these four, the recollection of the qualities of the Buddha, or the qualities of the Dhamma, metta meditation, or loving kindness, asubha bhavana, and maranasati, the recollection on death, are the four guardian meditations. They protect us at this time. Whatever happens, whatever may be the case, protection is always good. So, even this practice of the four guardian meditation is like protection in advance. We do it in advance, and it helps us to overcome difficulties that may occur. People of the past also did this type of meditation, these four guardian meditations, as a way of gaining protection during their practice. So now we have 1 month in which to practice, and Sayadaw makes the wish and urges that all of you be able to make the effort, make effort in the practice, make effort to apply ourselves, and to gain a type of unhappiness that is unrelinquishable. That's all for today.